And our gospel reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. Very familiar Advent story. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear and the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of woman, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And may we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning, which you're probably tired of hearing me say, because I say that almost every Sunday. But I'm going to offer two meditations this morning. Both are based on something that I've been reflecting a lot about this week, and that is the gift of love that is given to us by God in this very tangible form of Jesus, the gift of love. And I was thinking about all the gifts that we give, we try to give, and all the things that we do during this season out of love. I was thinking the one gift that's the most important gift that we cannot give is God's love. The reason we can't give God's love is because we already have it. It's already been given to us from the moment that God formed us, from the moment that God knew us. But what we can do is receive that love. And then through what we do, what we say, how we worship, how we act, is reflect God's love back out into the world. But it is God's love to give, and God has already so generously given that love to us. So what I want to offer you this morning are two meditations that I came across this week. One is by Margaret Gunther, who deals a lot with spirituality particularly in the second half of life. And one of the things she asks us to look at is, do we have time, do we make time during Advent to simply sit with God, to simply sit quietly with God? And the other meditation is one I received in an email this week, and it's based on a familiar passage from Corinthians. So Tom is going to play "Of the Father's Love Begotten" quietly in the background. And I'm going to invite you to just get comfortable, whether that's to close your eyes, whether that's to find a point in the church to sort of fix on, and just listen. One of the advantages of age, at least as I am experiencing it, is that stuff doesn't matter nearly so much as I once thought. Indeed, as I was reared to value it. Perhaps the sin of our time is the urge to hoard, to hold on tight, if not to acquire more. Telling ourselves that prudence like ours could never be freed. I haven't achieved Jesus' standards yet, but I am working on it. A few years ago, it was a real pleasure to dump my grandmother's 12th place set of elegant china on my eldest daughter. But she got more than she bargained for, and she hasn't realized it yet. I dragged it around for 50 years without realizing what a burden it was. It couldn't go into the dishwasher, and when would I ever have 12 people trying to sit down at a table which comfortably seats four? Harder still for us, though, is letting go of the invisible, intangible impediments we carry, like envy, arrogance, neediness, and fear. Some of these are troubling, and some of them feed my ego. Some of these are just there because they've always been. If we drag them around with us long enough, we forget just how heavy they are. We forget how to run with God, how to skip with God, and even how to walk with God. Eventually, we forget what it even might be like to walk with God at all. I comfort myself with the imperfection of the 12 apostles. Like the rest of us, they walked with God, and they remained works in progress to the very end. May God grant us just one more walk. Everything has been practice up to now. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I am just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, my friends, my co-workers, and the stranger in the street, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and concerts, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have completely missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to be quiet and get out of the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love, God's love alive in us and working through us, will endure forever.